Is it on?
Oh, I'm sorry. Getting to that age where, you know. Well, anyway, it's good to be in church with you all, and I appreciate Pastor Terry allowing me to come through and take some time to mention some things about former Soviet Union. You're going to hear some things tonight that you're not going to hear on YouTube or TV. We're going to give you the biblical templates of why that war is happening. And I got saved in 1983. I was raised Greek Orthodox. All my parents from both sides and grandparents are all Greek. And I believe that's one of the reasons why the Lord sent me over there. That's the Orthodox Church, would be your Eastern branch of Revelation 17 and 18, which is called the whore and the harlot. Which is a biblical term. And so when I got saved, fast forward 9 years later, 10 years later, I found myself on former Soviet turf. How many of you have heard of Gog and Magog? Okay, so that is a strategic area that the Lord mentions it even at the end of the millennium. So we're dealing with a territory of all of that northern territories. We've been salting down that part of the world since 1992. I went over there as a single man, and Brian Higgins and I went over there, and I didn't, you know, some folks said, well, you guys were kind of like pioneers. The Lord sent missionaries to those northern territories, Gog and Magog. So what you're going to see is we're going to take a tour of those territories and see what the Lord has done for the last 30-some years, and coming back to America, it's always kind of like a culture shock and getting used to the food over there and lifestyle and all that stuff. So I just want to thank the Lord for my wife and the girls that they have been through thick and thin over there, plus the you know, Kiev is getting hit pretty bad right now. That's where our house is. That's where our dog is, and we miss Ukraine, we miss those people, but Lord willing, we're going to be going back over there again. David Lohman and myself, and maybe take a small group of preacher boys and introduce them to foreign missions, and especially those Gog and Magog territories. So it's been a real trip, and we've seen a number of things. The old Soviet system, you'll see some people that were in the former KGB system over there that got saved and are serving the Lord, and all kinds of good stuff. So we're going to run through these here, and if you got any questions when we're done, please shoot, okay? Because we're talking about Gog and Magog, okay? And the Lord and what's going on over there right now, we're going to give you a biblical templates of why that war, and besides, you're going to see the work of what God has done through these people over there in those territories. All right, let's go. Lights? All right, that's my wife, Galia. I met her over there. After about 6 months of being there, the Lord brought her to me. She came to church, and when we started going out in the streets, passing out tracts, street preaching, she was always there. She's probably my best disciple to this very day. And she's a go-getter. She loves the Lord, and I thank the Lord God's given us three lovely girls. My oldest daughter, Naomi, is married to David Lohman, who's from Knoxville. And that was an interesting thing, because the pastor there at the church way back when, before I even knew who David was, the pastor was reading our prayer letters, and that caught David Lohman's interest, and he ends up coming to Ukraine, and then, you know, and then finally he got head eyes for my daughter. There's Ukraine that's about the size of Texas, okay? And you see the fourth largest river split in the country, and you got the Black Sea, and you've got Russia, that's taking the eastern part pretty bad, the front here, but the whole country is a war zone. Now, last time we were there, we came in from the west side. We started a church right here in the city of Lvov, and one of our men, Boris, he's there, and we hope by the grace of God, we're going to go back there and get a Bible conference going, and hopefully a Bible Institute. I told Pastor Terry that we've been teaching Bible Institute classes since 1995, every year, and so we've got men all over the country, some in Russia right now, some want to be missionaries to the Republic of Georgia. We have a brother, you'll see him, Nikita, he wants to be a missionary to Armenia. And so we're trying to fulfill 2 Timothy 2:2 literally. And the things that thou, Paul, Timothy, has heard of me, Paul, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's five parties in one verse. And we stress that. And we thank the Lord, and we, to this very day in our prayer letters, we ask folks to pray that God give us men. We love that the women that are faithful, we got some ladies over there, I tell you folks, they've been through thick and thin. I mean, this one woman, she's seeing Russian tanks going down through her village, and she stands as strong as can be. Her daughter's a drunkard, her grandkids are all messed up, you know, saved, but in the world. But she's standing like, I mean, she is a soldier and a half. And so, now that's the verse that spoke to my heart. If you want to know the will of God, you've got to get it from the Bible. You want the Word of God to speak to you. Personally, now that verse spoke to me to go to Ukraine, because you see the word Scythian there. And from that word Scythian, you get the word scythe. Does anybody know what a scythe is? Okay, that's what you reap a harvest with. It's got a handle and it's got that hook to it. And thus you have that. And little did people know that the Lord has always got the bead on countries. Now look at the last statement here by Lenin. The way to destroy the middle class is to crush it between the grindstones of taxation and inflation. So then you have two extremes. Now the world system is going to end up that way, where the rich are going to get richer and the poor are going to be poorer. So then you break the middle class, which is the shoulders of any country. So that's what they did over the Tsar. They overthrew the Tsar Nicholas in 1917, the beginning of the 20th century, and it was a bloody mess. So you had a government that starts on blood. Okay, so those northern territories are dangerous, let's put it that way. You have here Mr. Putin. He's the one that through him, the Lord put his hand on him to initiate the war. Now look who's standing on both sides of him. You do not want to pass that up, because one of the biblical templates that are pushing principalities and powers in this world is that system that's mentioned in Revelation 17 and 18, that, as the Bible says, fornicating with all the kings of the earth. You cannot believe the news media. You have to be extremely careful about that, because you're just going to get snapshots of an agenda, and you're not going to get behind the scenes who in the end is calling the shots. Now we'll talk about that a little bit later too. So and you'll see a man that was a former Orthodox priest, and I had a very important question I asked him. He's one of our toughest men that's working on the Eastern Front there. He's preaching the Word of God. And so if you do a search on Bucha massacre was the first entrance of the Russian infantry. It's one thing if bombs are coming down, you can go into a bomb shelter and that comes and it goes. But when you have infantry and you see them off in a distance, or you see tanks and you can't identify whose they are, boy, you have to make some decisions. You're going to have to make some serious decisions what you're going to do. We had plan A, we had plan B, but we did not have a plan C. And so our plan was, I just thought it was best for our girls, because there they were raping everybody, and that was 55 minutes from our house. And the alternate route in the city of Kiev from the airport, and the Russians got close to the airport, that would be just 2 blocks away from our house. And so it got pretty tight for us. So we thought the best thing to do, use that occasion for my wife to get her citizenship. That took a couple of years back here in the States. So anyway, a bloody mess. Okay, that was 10 minutes from another church that we got started just outside the city of Kiev. You see the red spot there? That's Bucha. Okay, and anyway, our house is right about here, and it's about a 55-minute drive from there, and they were coming from the airport too, coming into the city here, not but 2 blocks away from our house. So we were kind of sweating it out there, and I could have been a hero, but I had going through my mind, you know, they're going to blow me away and then rape the girls, and then, you know. But see, a lot of people don't know, when Hudson Taylor had to deal with the Boxer Rebellion, he took a 6-year furlough. And people think you didn't think any much less of him as a missionary. And sometimes you have to do what you have to do. David was a very courageous man, and he had to flee at least a couple of times. So, there are times when it's wise to do those kind of things. All right. There is what God had given us. That's the Russian translation, the leather-bound of the King James Bible. We started that in the year 2000. That's 8 years after we had already been there. And we had men wanting to start a translation because we'd say in the King James Bible it says this and their Bible didn't say it. Then we say the King James Bible says this and their Bible didn't say it. So after studying in this and going into the origins of that translation of the most popular Russian, we're talking about the Eastern branch of the Hor. It's got its connections with Alexandria, Egypt. And I just got tired of dealing with a book that was from Alexandria, Egypt. I wanted something that was from Antioch to England, and from England give them originals from the original English language, the King James Bible, and they're getting 20 times more revelation than John MacArthur. Let's talk plain, than Jerry Falwell. When it says rightly dividing, they're getting rightly dividing in the King's English. When it says we're not as many which corrupt the word of God, they're getting that from the King's English. So, we had my home church, Pensacola, completely behind it. My pastor, former pastor, he said, you got to get a bunch of nationals that are on the same page. Well, they were not only on the same page. They said, we got to get that thing translated. And so then after that, another man that we trained, he wanted to do the Ukrainian text. So now David, my son-in-law, and I now we're polishing that text up, and we're getting into our second edition, and also we're getting a container together that's going to be leaving from South Carolina full of that first edition of the entire Ukrainian King James Bible. So we're very thankful for that. That's not very popular, but I think that's the way it ought to be done. Now, these are some of your Magogites and Gogites. These are people, they love the Lord. They're from those northern territories. And, you know, I heard my former pastor, he was military. He said the best infantry were Russians. And when they get on the right track, folks, they'll die before they get off that track. And that's why they're fighting and still putting up a fight and putting up a stink against this bear country of Russia. And we stressed this verse. Besides the gospel and the preaching the gospel, we believe that's this verse right here is the most important verse in the Bible. We trained them with the intention, them knowing they're going to have to take the baton and go with it. And so we've got them littered all over the place in the country. And I believe that's one of the reasons why that war is. But we'll tell you some other reasons, I think, because the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, the devil doesn't want that country to be free. But the more they're pounding with bombs and drones, the more folks are getting saved over there and getting trained. And we're corresponding with people in various parts of the country. They're taking our correspondence course. So it's just an amazing thing. Now, these are some of the horses. Now, look at some of these faces. They don't look too happy. Now, their faces, they were taught not to smile in front of a camera. You'd think some of these guys could take on the 1985 middle linebackers of the Chicago Bears, amen? Now, these guys, they eat garlic and onions all the time. And someone asked me, what do you eat over there? I said, garlic and onions. You become all things to all people, that you might by all means save some. And someone said, well, what do you do when you want to kiss your wife? I said, no problem. She eats garlic and onions too. You know, and we would travel with these guys in a van. We would sleep in one room that's 5 yards by 5 yards, and they all got sleeping bags. And, man, at nighttime when they're sawing logs, you talk about a chorus and a smell. But we had ourselves, I mean, that's what I live for. That gets my blood going. And there's the church that we were able to put up, and that's the place where we'd put them up in three little Sunday school rooms. You got four grown-ups in a Sunday school room. And then finally the Lord gave us a hotel that was very cheap. So by the grace of God, we're going to be doing that on the western side of Ukraine, Lord willing, in September. You see there on the upper left-hand corner, second to the left, that's David Lohman from Knoxville. Most of these people, the one on the second from the left in the front row, He was Europe's representative of Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. How many of you know that ministry? Well, that's Alex. And his father is right on my left. That's Anatoly. He fled Kiev, and he's about 7 hours southwest of Kiev. And he lives in a house that's just got two rooms with two autistic grown-up children. And he still is going through the text and polishing it and honing it, although we're in our eighth edition of the Russian translation. He's a major in the army. He's seen a number of men take their own lives. This is one of his members. We trained these men. His daddy, that's my wife's nephew. His daddy was former KGB. When he got saved, he could have no association with anybody from America. That hangover for about 5 to 10 years was still there, and that Soviet system, it's very stoic, very staunch, very hard. Stalin, Stal means steel in Russian. And if anybody thinks that Hitler was bad, what the news media does not tell you, that Stalin killed at least 3 times more people than Hitler could even think of. And so, I mean, I've been out near where the gulags were in Kazakhstan. We got a work going out there in Kazakhstan. And folks, you talk about a tough dude. Stalin, he was just crazy. But the news media is not going to tell you that. Okay, now some of these men here, this is Alex, second to the right. He came to our church because we're preaching from a Russian translation of the King James Bible. That's his son right there. He's got an American Javelin, and look where he's standing, right there in an apartment complex. The tanks are coming through, and they're fighting right there in apartment complexes. That's only one place. There's thousands of places that are, buildings are just blown to bits. And some of the regions in Kiev where we used to live, they've gotten bombs, and luckily, well, by the grace of God, none of our windows have been blown out where our house is now. And we've 4 seasons a year. That's like living up in Montreal, Canada. Cold winters, spring, hot summers, and then fall. But we would preach, and we trained men. All these men, we've trained them to get on the street. We taught them how to soul win, how to give an invitation and how to preach the Word of God. We've got some of these guys who are tough as nails. There's our Vacation Bible School. And David has got the ministry of, now even here while we're in the States, we're still sending out literature all over the country, and we've got people in these strategic areas. You'll see that there's nothing here, but this is kind of like a not up to date, but there are some places here where you have men where they're getting box loads like that load right there of material where they can just get it out, salt down the territory. Now, baptism, there's a church that we helped, that fellow on the far right, on the front row, Mikhail, that's Michael, and we just saw him on Zoom. We have Zoom twice a week, this morning here, 9 o'clock in the morning, and then Wednesdays, it would be 11 o'clock, it would be 7 p.m. there in Ukraine. But we have people all over former Soviet Union. We've got over 30 people each week that are representing 3 different continents and 5 different countries, because a lot of our people have gone to Poland. Some are here in the States. Some of them are in Russia. Some of them are in various parts of Europe. And so, you know, I've been shepherding a lot of these people besides just planting churches. So it's kind of tore us apart. And I'll tell you, it's tearing my heart apart. But I'm looking forward to going back in September. So you want to, I do have a special request. It's an unspoken as far as my time there. And my wife and the girls are still here, and there are some physical challenges, one of my daughters, and so that's a very, I've got to wait until the Lord puts the pieces together, but when I go back there, it's very difficult for me to leave there, so you want to pray about that. This is one of the verses that spoke to us about this ministry, Trans-Ukrainian Evangelistic Reach. We take a tent. We've been traveling across the country with a tent, and we take a band of men with us, and there's the trailer and the band of men. And like I said, there's nothing like just traveling with the guys and cutting up and talking Bible and just, you know, just ministering to each other. These are some of the places where we pitch tent. That's what the tent looks like. This is one of the men, Sasha, we ordained him besides other men. And all these men that we ordained or remarried them, they're still married and they're still bearing fruit. This brother right here, you want to pray for him. His name is Sasha. We just found out 2 weeks ago from his wife that he's got last stage of cancer? Stage four? Is it four? Yeah, okay. So you want to pray for Sasha, please. And he'd be happy to know that I'd let you all folks know it. Don't know about it. So these are some of the folks here that in his church building, he did all that interior work. This lady right here, the one I'm talking about, she's in the northern part of Ukraine, right where the border is, about half hour from the border, Russian or Belarus border, and she could hear the tanks going through her village. That fellow next to me with the beard, that's the former Orthodox priest that was in the upper crust of Ukraine. I asked him, what does the Roman Pope know about this war? And he said, everything. But you don't hear much about the Pope. He's not in the scene, but he was there in the year 2000, and no matter where he goes, it's just a matter of time, there's going to be problems in that country. Because one of the key things I want to say is there's Jews all over Ukraine. There's Jews all over Russia. And so we'll get into that as time allows. There's our radio banner. Now, we've had from Final Fight, one of the foreign stations is the Russian, this is called Bible Radio. This is called Good Fight of Faith, 1 Timothy 6:12, King James Bible. Now, I'll say that to you in Russian. That's Good Fight of Faith. Dobre strazhenie viry. Did you get that? I have to interpret for you. Amen. Speaking in tongues. Now, this is a Russian Jew in Portland, Oregon. He got a hold of our translation. Now he lets us put up our preaching. We've been preaching for years and recording it. A lot of it's on our Russian YouTube channel and radio station, and he puts it up in Portland, Oregon, and it goes out off the signal there in Portland. And he's also got a tower in Riga, Latvia. So, you know, Lord's just really blessing us with radio now. This brother, he must have saw some Billy Sunday sermons. He's on the pulpit. He's not behind the pulpit. And that's in the church there. And you see he's giving an invitation, people wanting to get saved. This is another church. We helped the brother on the far right, a leg. And I think he's kind of sleeping on the job right there. But that's the pastor. I just talked to him. I talked to all these guys almost daily, folks. They want advice. It's just tremendous. It gives us purpose and encouragement to know that there's folks that they want to fellowship with you. But now he's got somebody else teaching. So he's like third generation. Okay, and there's the country again. Now, this is a fella in Moldova. His name is Sergei. Actually, it's Transnistria. It's right between Ukraine and Moldova. It's basically Russian. And they still have the sickle and hammer there on the flag. And the lessons that are on the table back there, he took those lessons that are in Russian, and they're training his own members by those lessons. The last time we were in Ukraine, just last year, this is Boris. This is the pastor. We ordained him, David and I, and we're going back there. We hope by the grace of God we're going to, ahead of time, try to get a Bible conference for a few days, start a Bible institute, and he's going to be teaching some classes. And if I have to come back, then we'll by Zoom be teaching some of the students that can come. Of course, it's going to be not that easy because the age bracket, draft bracket, is from 25 to 60. How many here are from 25 to 60 years old? Well, you're potential draftees. All right, so this is the 10-mile long line when we had to leave the country. And this is when we went back. We introduced some new preachers to foreign missions in Warsaw. We drove into Ukraine, and there we were in Lvov, far eastern, western part of Ukraine. This brother Nikita, he wants to be a missionary to Armenia. He wants to be a missionary to the Republic of Georgia. This is Boris, and some of the young preacher boys right here that went with us last time, and so we're thankful for that. That folks are interested, and just some of the folks out there. And this is in Tennessee. I think this is either this is, I forgot, Mount Pisgah or Shelbyville. I'm not sure which one, but you see the paperback. That's being sold. You can get that at the bookstore in Pensacola, or David sends them out all across Ukraine, but across the states here and Canada, they're getting all kinds of orders. And in fact, the sister at the bookstore said, we need more, because they're going. They're just going out. And so there's Boris. We just got those chairs for him the day we had to leave back to Poland. And so he's got a small group of people coming out now. And this is what you see all across Ukraine. War is, number one, war is, folks, intelligence. War is deception. And then war is destruction. Okay, the biblical template is John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill and destroy. And so the first one that wanted to destroy the souls of men was, he came as an angel of light to Eve, who was naive in the garden. She took of the fruit. Of course, she gave to her husband. He took of the fruit. And there you have a downward fall. And there we get in that too. So, and the devil wanted your souls to be destroyed. But praise God, if you're saved, praise God, we're not going to hell. Amen. And that's a wonderful thing to know we're going to heaven. And you see all these cemeteries all over the place, all over Kiev and various parts of the country. And I walked specifically up and down those aisles and knowing those faces, those Slavic faces, and people that are just giving their lives. And it's just kind of like a conveyor of genocide. You know, a lot of them are draft dodging. Okay, so little did I know that where we're living right now in Pensacola, 1 hour away in Mobile, of all things, I get to go on these ships, cargo ships, when I'm not traveling, and I am preaching to Russians and Ukrainians. This guy is from Moscow. Now, I'm sitting down eating Ukrainian food with captains on these cargo ships that are from Ukraine. Now, it's tremendous. So, and then if I get to talk with Russians, of course, I'd rather be in Ukraine, but I couldn't do in Ukraine what I'm doing now, talking with Russians. And so the Lord knows. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Now shall they hear without a preacher? How are people going to be saved unless we go out and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of you personally were told by somebody about Jesus Christ? One-on-one. Okay? And that happened to me. I mean, I was practicing Buddhism as a Greek Orthodox, as a professional musician, practicing Buddhism, and my sister-in-law comes up to me and tells me how I can know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. All it took was 1 month, and that broke me. I was broken. And I thank the Lord that day the Lord broke. My heart was broken, and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and I haven't looked back since, 45 years ago. Okay, well, Jeremiah was called, Moses was called, Paul was called, Elijah was called, Elisha was called, but Isaiah was not called. He volunteered. The Lord said, who will go? There's people in South Africa, North Africa, Asia, Eastern Europe, Canada, America, Tennessee. I was in Cracker Barrel not long ago. This young girl comes up, Michaela, 16 years old, and I saw her name there, and I don't know why, I didn't plan it. I just said, Michaela, are you saved? She said, no. And within 15 minutes, she had to go back, and she came back to the table. I said, would you like to be saved? She said, yes. I looked at my friend across the table, I said, good night, now what do we do? I didn't expect that. Yeah. I mean, just so simple. Yeah. I talked to her for about 10 minutes. That girl, Michaela, she got on her knees. She put her elbows right on the table where we're eating, and she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm traveling north on I-65 just south of Birmingham. 2 weeks later, I'm coming back on 65 going south. I went back into that Cracker Barrel, and there she was, and we gave her a Bible. They're out there, folks. Who will go? Are there any volunteers? You don't have to be called. I didn't know what to do. I just said, Lord, here I am. I went, Pastor, I was saved at 26 years old a newborn baby, didn't know what I was doing, and I heard George Sweeting, the president of Moody Bible Institute. I went there for about a half year. I found out, well, I can't stay there because of the music. I said, good night. I was in that stuff. I got to get out of that stuff. And they had it there, but they were mission-minded. And he just gave an invitation, and I went down at the altar, and I didn't know. I said, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. 9 years later, when I stepped foot on former Soviet turf, the Lord said, you remember you said you'd go wherever I want you, where you want, I want you to go? I said, yeah. He said, well, here you go. And I look back after 34 years of laboring there, and we got a fellowship. It's just, I thank God that God saved my soul and can use this character right here. Because I know what I came out of. And so I'm very thankful for that. So you might want to stop and think about that. Who will go? The harvest. You know, he still is the Lord of the harvest. And all you got to do is point your heart toward heaven and just say, Lord, okay, I'll take that step. And when you take that step, if it's a step of faith, the Bible says in Romans 3:27, the law of faith. It's a law. And that law, it's like, well, in natural laws, you've got gravity. They call it gravity, okay? And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. But with faith, it's impossible not to please him. If you take that one little step of faith, it may not be a big step, but if it's the right step in the right direction, God, the lawmaker of faith, is a law enforcer. He will enforce that law. And if you have any inclination by faith to take that step, God is obligated to you personally to show himself that he is God. And I didn't have, we didn't, Brian Higgins and I, we didn't do any deputation. We just found out a group of people were going to Ukraine, and we figured we'd go over there for 2 weeks, get a round-trip ticket, and come back after 2 weeks and do deputation. We went over there. We stayed for 4 years. No deputation. Because God blessed that effort, and he gave us handfuls of purpose to the point we thought it wasn't worth going back home. It was better. We were better off staying there and seeing all the fruit. Folks, we had folks on their knees in line waiting for us to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they got saved, we gave them a New Testament paper bump. They were kissing the Bible on their knees publicly. So that's why we didn't want to come home. And I came home 4 years later with a wife and a daughter. And Brian came home with a wife and a daughter. And we said, hey, this is pretty good. Living for the Lord, and it just gets better and better. And so thank you, Pastor. And these are some of the things that we're doing right now while we're here. Of course, we're looking forward to getting back there ASAP. And so you want to pray for us and for the things that we have kind of percolating right now. We want the Lord to put all the pieces together. And so we don't want to get ahead of the Lord. We don't want to lag behind. So and of all things, I just ran out of prayer cards, and we called the company up to print them for us, and they shut down for a couple of weeks because of 4th of July. So I will send to Pastor Terry our prayer cards, and if you want to pray for us, we would really appreciate that. All right, so we're done. And if anybody got any questions before we get beyond, say something from the book, I'd like us to kind of zip through some things about this war, because these are things you're not going to get from the news media. All right. I call these biblical templates. Before, I'll just spend 5 minutes on this. We're going to zip through these templates and so to give you what's going on over there in these Magog and Gog territories. Okay, Genesis chapter, Acts chapter 16. Now, if you can't get to the places fast enough, please write these verses down. Or if this is being recorded, watch it later on, because we're going to zip through these things. But it's quite important because we're talking about Gog and Magog that is mentioned in Ezekiel. And then, if that ain't enough, after a 1,000-year reign with you and I back on this earth, pops up Magog again. So what is it with that territory? Well, over there in Acts 16, this is the Apostle Paul's second missionary journey. Look at verse 6, 16:6. And when they had gone throughout Phrygia, well, that's Turkey, folks. That's north of Israel, okay? North, that's where Paul is from, Turkey. And the region of Galatia, that's central Turkey. And were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, that at that time was Turkey. Paul is from that country. After they were come to Mysia, that's going a little bit west, they said to go into Bithynia, that's the far northern part of Turkey. If you go any further north, you hit the Black Sea, and if you go around, flank that Black Sea, you end up right in Ukraine. And the Jews had an affinity of going into those northern territories, okay? So that's very important. But the Spirit suffered them not. Of course, we understand that they went west. And so that's one template. Those Jews, where my wife is from, in a village 3 hours south of the city of Kiev, they would have a holiday once a year, and the Jews were literally all over that place. I mean, you spot them a mile away. And so what significance does that have? Genesis chapter 12. Now, how many of you know what happened in 70 A.D. after Christ died? Well, anybody can say, can you tell us what happened 70 A.D.? Yes, God used a Gentile power to come in and destroy the temple, correct? Okay, so now God has to kick those Jews out. That's part of the curse on them because of their disobedience. He came unto his own, Jesus did, and his own received him not, correct? So now they're kicked out. Now you find them all over America, especially in New York. And you have a Catholic mayor there. Or no, he's Muslim. Okay? That may not seem it to us right now, but nonetheless, and I got a good friend in England, in major cities all over England, I've got Muslim mayors. Okay? So in Genesis chapter 12, you have this right here, and this is a template that, and I'm going to give you some statistics here. Genesis 12, verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Well, because of the fact that the Jews have been mass murdered all over Russia and Ukraine, I've got statistics here since 2022. That's 4 years ago. A total of 43,685 Jew immigrants arrived in Israel from Russia, and another 15,213 came from Ukraine. So what is the, and that's only one article. I've got tons of these, and you can do a search and just find that out very easily. So what is the Lord doing? He's doing the opposite of what he did before 2,000 years ago. He uses Gentile powers to kick the Jews out of their land, and then wherever they are located around the world, now God has got to use, you find this trio in the Old Testament, sword, that could be war or inner strife, famine, no food. There was a threat here in America, I don't know how many years ago, you're finding less water or even toilet paper or whatever because the ships are not bringing it in, right? Someone's controlling this stuff. Well, the Lord is. He's behind the whole kit and caboodle. Okay, then you got famine, no food, or a pestilence. All right, so here comes COVID. That's kind of heating things up, but it's going to get a whole lot worse once we get out of here and in the Great Tribulation. So the Lord is reversing the process. He's starting problems, and now in Russia and Ukraine, because both of those countries have a long history of anti-Semitism. That's atheistic communism, okay? And if you do a thing on pogroms, P-O-G-R-O-M-S, which is a highfalutin word for ethnic cleansing, it means anti-Semitism. So if you did a search, you know, tonight, and you look of former Soviet Union and all the mass murdering of Jews in those two countries, so what does the Lord do? He turns those countries on each other, and they're killing each other because of the fact they're both guilty of the anti-Semitism. So that ought to warn you and me that if there's a lot of Jews in this country, all we need is the news media start turning more and more and more against those Jewish people because of God doing that against them, because they were against his son that came as the Messiah. You see, the whole thing is centered around God and his people. And so that's another template. And then I mentioned the template of just geography. They're going up into those northern territories. And the templates of the future, Revelation chapter 20, and Ezekiel, the prophecy in there in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And you got all these things, Gog and Magog. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah 1. And I'll give you one more verse, and then I'll give you something from the book, something else from the book, and it'll be a sermonette. It won't be long. All right. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah 1, verse 13. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, "What seest thou?" And I said, "I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north." Now, of course, that would be Babylon that went up to Haran. They'd have to go along the Fertile Crescent there and then come back down from the north. But that is like a future type of the Russian alliance with Iran. Elam is your word there in the Old Testament. And whatever has happened with America and Iran, that's only temporary, because in the Great Tribulation, they pop up again. It's Assyria, those eastern territories over there, they got a long history of anti-Semitism. So they're going to come around again. So, and then look what it says here in verse 14. "Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms," plural, "of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah." All right. Now let's go to John chapter 18. Now I'm going to give you the whole ball of wax of war. We put a book out. It's out there on a table. It's called Demonology and Artificial Intelligence. Okay? All war is, number one, intelligence, folks. Number two, war is deception, and war is destruction. Okay? That's the order. Now look at here in chapter 18, John 18, verse 3. You see Judas. There's your intelligence. Look at the verse before that. "And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus often resorted thither with his disciples." Well, Judas is the inside man getting the intelligence to report back to his commanders, which were the chiefs, the priests. Okay? So it's the religious crowd that's the instigator, using the political powers of Gentile powers against biblical Christianity or biblical Judaism. Okay, carry on. It says, "having received a band of men," well, there's your military forces. You'll see the word arms in Daniel 11. There's all your military forces. They're being pushed by intelligence. Mr. Intelligence showed up in the Garden of Eve. Mr. Intelligence showed up through a witch of Endor to Saul when he would not get revelation from the Word of God. He was getting revelation, deception, from a witch. Now, the witch is in your back pocket, called a device. So when you have life's issues, not just GPS, how to get to, I use GPS to get here, okay? But I'm not asking GPS, what do I do if I got questions about what to do in my life? That's where you cross over. And there you're not being diligent as far as keeping your own heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Okay, Saul couldn't figure that out. So he goes to a witch. Well, that was your intelligence and a witch. Now the medium is a device. All right, so a band of men, that's your military forces. The officers, there's your corporals, your generals, your captains, your sergeants, your privates, and of all the military forces and all the ranks. From the who? Chief priests. Now you see that? That's the biblical template right there. Okay? "And Pharisees cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Okay, well, there's your drones. There's your knives. There's your bazookas. There's your hydrogen bombs. There's your atom bombs. There's your all your drones and drones and more drones. So you got the whole thing from A to Z right there in verse 3. Intelligence. The only time you're going to find in the Holy Bible, and there's only one Holy Bible, and that's the King James Bible, that is in Daniel chapter 11. We won't go there for the sake of time. Daniel 11, verse 30, you'll read it. With intelligence, he will cause the majority of the Jews to go against the Holy Covenant. It's right there. Daniel 11, 30. One time in your Bible, it mentions the word intelligence. And it has to do with the Antichrist by AI. Now, does anybody know what was the first city when Joshua crossed the River Jordan? What city did they take, the major city? Jericho. What was the next city? AI. They fell at AI because they thought they would only take 300 of their forces, or 3,000, to take AI. They underestimated the power of AI. Once you start giving yourself over to AI, when you got life's issues to deal with in your life, you've crossed the line. And right in Alabama, elementary teacher, she said that now in the school, elementary school, the boys and girls can talk to a chat bot Jesus. So that chat bot will give them answers to life's issues. We're in sad shape, folks. And I believe what Pastor Terry's doing, we're preaching the Word of God, you're in the book, if you're trying to memorize Scripture, you're asking the Lord, you're crying over this book, you're fasting, you're praying, you're seeking the Lord's face, you're on the right track. All right, folks. All right, I got about 5 minutes. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to give you a three-point outline within 5 minutes. And I call this formula for staying in the race. Formula for staying in the race. Isaiah chapter 6, it's a very familiar passage. I will not read the whole passage. And I'm sure you're familiar with that. Isaiah gets this vision. The king dies, verse 1. Then he gets his vision up there in the third heaven. Sees the seraphims. They're saying, holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of glory. And then he says, woe is me. Verse 5. The seraphims touched him with coals from the altar. And lo, it hath touched thy lips, verse 7, and his iniquity was purged, verse 7. And he said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And I want to call your attention to those three words right there, here am I. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for this church, and thank you for Pastor for allowing me to come on through. And, dear Lord, we pray you'd speak to our hearts now. We pray that your people would be edified. Lord, maybe some sinner might get saved out there. And, Lord, especially you'd get all the praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here am I. Here am I. What is that? Well, the Lord is knocking at the door of the Laodicean church, and a lot of people are not answering. I don't know if you've called some people and they don't answer the phone. Or maybe somebody was trying to call you and you didn't answer and they got a little perturbed. Why didn't you pick the phone up? Why didn't you answer? And I think that's where a lot of folks are at today, where the Lord may be knocking at your heart's door and a lot of people are saying, not home. I remember in grade school, they'd give a roll call and they'd mention your name and you'd say, present. Anybody remember that? Present. Well, Lord calls someone's name and a lot of folks may not say, present. Because they're not home. And so the first ingredient or formula, ingredient of this formula for staying in the race is just simply availability. You avail yourself and you stop and think about how many times the Lord availed himself to you personally. And he picked you up when nobody else knew that you were down, he picked you up. He made himself available to you. Remember that? Maybe that was this morning. And you had a need. And maybe your husband or wife or your child or your daddy or didn't know that you had that need, and there he was. And I wonder if you're making yourself available throughout the day for God to use you. And so the first ingredient of this formula is availability. The second ingredient of here am I is, let's go on over to Genesis chapter 22. And this is the story of Abraham and his son Isaac. And I hope you're familiar with that passage, but it's always worth being refreshed a little bit on it. And in chapter 22, when God told Abraham, when Abraham was already up in years, sometimes when you're up in years, those are some of the most difficult times. Kids are out. Less people may want to fellowship. You know, you're an older generation kind of a fella. And you may have bouts with loneliness. And God tells you to do something that's very specific. And he says, Abraham, I want you to take your only son, whom you love, and slay him on the altar. So he could have gotten really ticked off and mad. And I've known some brethren that I'm sure Pastor Terry has known for years, and we're not around anymore. And right at that moment, when Abraham was told to slay his boy, he could have just gone right on through with it. When God called him from heaven, he said, Abraham, Abraham. And how did Abraham answer him? He said, here am I. And so that here am I is a phrase of not only availability, flexibility. And if I would have walked and gone into Ukraine with a stiff neck and brought America with me, rather than trying to become all things to all people, and boy, I tell you, that's very trying, especially when they put a dead carp in front of you and it's got the eyes in it and it's looking right at you. And they say, well, have some of that. And I'm saying, good night. I've never eaten carp before. I'm looking for the dog underneath the table. You know, and the hostess walks out in the kitchen, I'm feeding that dog some carp, and I'm smiling, the dog's smiling, she's smiling too. And you got to be flexible. And here's Abraham. He could have gotten just ticked off at man and just gone right on through it. But he needed to have that availability to be flexible. And there are things that the Lord's going to bring into your life where you have to kind of get down and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to be flexible for thy name's sake. I don't like it. This flesh is bothering the fire out of me. They may be thinking something totally different, but I've got to do what you want me to do. That's called flexibility. Here am I. Flexibility. And then the last one, let's go on over to, well, Moses chapter, and we'll give you one more verse, and then I'll quote another verse, but let's go into Exodus chapter 3. This is the call of Moses. He's out there in the backside of the wilderness, and after he murdered a man, and it says in chapter 3, and it says in verse 4, and when the Lord saw that he, Moses, turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. This is not only availability, folks. This is not only flexibility. This is a man that served a long time after the Lord got a hold of him. And in Hebrews chapter 3, it says he was faithful in all his house. That's dependability. So, availability, flexibility, and dependability are three ingredients of this formula for staying in the race, and that is what equals to stability. You and I are living in a society and in a government situation where in Ukraine, the only thing that's consistent is everything is completely inconsistent. And you have to learn to go with the blows. And a lot of times you can't figure it out for love nor money. And you don't have the answers. The thing is just to simply trust the Lord. Availability, flexibility, dependability equals stability. Thank you very much for your time, Pastor.